confesses the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "About that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." As Jesus speaks this week, and I was preparing for the message today, I couldn't help but also hear the news in my other ear. When Jesus speaks and says, "One will be taken and one will be left," I couldn't help but think of the numerous places in our world where suddenly someone is gone. It happened just here in Bloomington over at Kotu Restaurant, not far from our church. On Wednesday, suddenly one who was just there eating lunch was taken in gunfire, and the other left. It happened this week at a Walmart. Suddenly, workers working the night shift were taken, while their co-workers were left. It happened at Club Q, as people were gathered for dancing and enjoyment and relaxing and watching a drag show. Suddenly, some of those were taken, and some left. It seems violence can just show up around any corner these days. And indeed, these messages of Jesus are messages of violence. They're worrying messages. They are messages that are not necessarily all... The coming of the Son of Man does not come easily. But like a thief in the night breaking into the house, committing a crime, like a flood that sweeps everyone away, like suddenly one being taken and the other left. So be awake, Jesus says. Be awake. Be alert. Be on watch. This last 3 years or so of this COVID pandemic and this time where it seems like danger is around every corner, where we've had to evaluate social situations before we enter into them, worried about our own health and the health of those around us, it has seemed a little bit like this time of Jesus, where some people have gotten very sick, others have been just fine. We don't know. And the unknown has made us be on alert, be on high alert. And we've been on high alert for a few years now. And I don't know about the rest of you, but it has made me tired. Has anybody else been feeling a little worn out by all of this being on high alert. Between the shootings in public places, maybe they're at churches or clubs or restaurants or grocery stores, shopping malls, movie theaters, no place in our life has gone without a shooting in the news. In between the pandemic, we've just been on alert. We've been doing our best to stay ready and to keep watch, and I wonder how sustainable it all is. And yet here this morning, Jesus says to us, keep watch, keep alert. And I wonder, Jesus, how? How do we stay so alert over the long haul? How do we live a life of readiness, wakefulness? How do we actually do this? Because it seems like we've been waiting for the coming of the Lord for a long time. How are we prepared? When the gunman entered into Club Q in Colorado Springs and began shooting, there was one man there in the crowd with his family who jumped into action. Richard Fierro, serving 15 years in the military, was there at the nightclub with his family. And in that moment, when he heard shots fired, he said afterwards, "I just knew I had to take him down." The instincts that he had honed during his deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan kicked in. He entered into a new identity, or maybe one that he just carried with him the whole time. He was there to fight back. He was there to protect his people. He said, "I don't know exactly what I did. I just went into combat mode." And in combat mode, he rushed towards the gunman, disarmed him, subdued him, saving many lives. What was it in that moment where he could flip in an instant from enjoying a drag show to taking down a dangerous gunman armed with body armor and an assault rifle and a pistol? What was it about him that enabled him to be ready, to be able to act in that moment? When the moment strikes, we will not expect it. When the moment comes for us to act, we won't know it is coming. It will just suddenly show up. When Paul is writing to the Romans about this coming time, he's writing to them, and I think he gives us some instructions for how to do this. He says, "Now is the moment for you to wake, to enter into this ready state, but in a way that's not going to wear you down." He says, "The night is gone, day is coming, this day that is coming, the day of the Lord that is near." And he says, "Yes, let us live honorably, let us not be self-destructive or dull our senses in debauchery or licentiousness, but instead put on the Lord Jesus Christ." To put on Christ. I think that if we are to be ready for the moment that is coming, we have to understand exactly who this Christ is that we are putting on. Sometimes when a situation is overwhelming and there's a lot of stimulation, my son Eden starts to act out. Maybe your kids do or did that too. Oftentimes, when he comes to church, he is a handful. He doesn't quite understand how everybody's singing the same words and why he doesn't know them. And so when we start to sing, he starts to get nervous, get a little antsy, starts acting out. When everybody's sitting still, he doesn't quite understand why, so he starts acting out. He doesn't know what he's supposed to do in that moment. It's too much. This last Wednesday, I tried something out. I gave him a role. When we got to communion, instead of him running around and causing problems, I had him just come up and do the simple thing. Eden, you're going to hold the basket. He had a job to do now. Now he knew what to do. Now he could do it. He understood his role. It helped him be ready to worship. One of the things that's been a joy for me is playing Dungeons and Dragons with some of the kids here in church. We have a D&D youth group that's been meeting over the summer and this fall. And one of the things I love about this game, Dungeons and Dragons, is that you throw people into situations that are strange and fantastic, things that they've never experienced before, and they have to work together to try to overcome them and figure them out. Dungeons and Dragons is a game in which you take on another persona, another role. It's a role-playing game. And in this game, the roles are a little more defined than we usually find them in our lives. Sometimes someone will take a character and their role, they know it, is to be on the front lines in danger. That role is called a fighter. When it comes, they fight. Sometimes the role is to be a healer, to be a cleric. Sometimes the role is to be a people person and manage the role-playing interactions with other characters. It might be a bard. Sometimes the role is to know what to do with traps or tricks. They might be a rogue. When a situation comes that the players haven't experienced before, they lean into their roles and they know what to do. And when Paul says to put on Jesus, he is giving us some guidance for the role that we are to take on in this life. As we put on Jesus, we become ready, not because we've trained and are so on high alert, but because we understand our identity, who we are, whose we are, and what part we have to play in whatever circumstance comes our way. Paul says, put on Christ. My word, dear people, this morning is that if we are to be ready in the uncertain circumstances of this life, that we must indeed put on Christ. And so who is the Christ that you put on? Which role of Christ? For Christ, Jesus Christ, was many, many things. He has many, many names. He shows up in many, many ways. And no one of us can embody all of the forms of Christ, all of the roles that he participated in, all of the ways that he interacted in this world, but we might find one way. We might find one way that we could put on. And so then when the uncertain circumstances show up, like the army veteran in the nightclub, when the shooter showed up, we might know our role. His was to fight and protect. What's yours in the role of crisis in our world? Is your role perhaps to be Jesus, the great physician, to be one who shows up when damage has been done and to provide healing? Maybe you're a healer. Maybe you are Jesus, the bread of life. Maybe that's your role. Maybe as you walk through this life, you found yourself able to provide for others when it seemed like no one else could. Maybe you're Jesus, the creator, the creative word. Maybe you can make something beautiful and have been blessed with that ability. Maybe you are Jesus who is wonderful and you can bring joy to people in any circumstance. Maybe you are Jesus, the counselor, and you can bring guidance to people, and you have found people able and better off for it. Maybe you are Jesus, the mighty God, and in a situation of crisis, you bring your strength. Or maybe you are Jesus, the everlasting, and you can bring support and stability. Maybe you're Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Maybe you can put on that Jesus who is the essence of calm and patience. You might put on Jesus, the High Priest, because you are gifted with the power of prayer. Or Jesus, the Prophet, who is the one who has deep understanding and seemingly the ability of foresight. Maybe you are Jesus, the Teacher, and you can help other people learn about God and the world. Maybe you are Jesus, the advocate, and you can fight for others. Maybe you're Jesus, the mediator, and you're gifted in being able to reconcile differences. Maybe you're Jesus, the servant, and you know and find joy in being able to care and tend to the needs of others. You might be Jesus, the good shepherd, guiding others through difficulty, or Jesus, the everlasting fountain of living waters with a seemingly unending well of energy to go through this thing called life. You might be the rock, providing stability through difficult circumstances, or the day spring, providing hope. You might be Emmanuel, able to just be present in the moment. You might be Jesus, the Son of Man, who can accompany others in this human journey. Maybe you're Jesus, the carpenter, gifted with work of your hands. Maybe you're Jesus, the stranger, a bit weird, but able to reveal more about the world just by being fully yourself. Maybe you're Jesus, the crucified, and life is difficult, but you can endure it because resurrection is on the other side, and that resurrection will not be denied. Maybe you're Jesus, child of God, loved and loving. There are so many ways to put on Christ, but I encourage you to think on this, to choose your role. What is the Christ that you will put on? What is the armor that you will wear? So that when the troubles of life come like a thief in the night, you will be ready. Just because you are who you are. By our baptismal font, we have mirrors. And as you exit the church this morning, I encourage you to look into those mirrors and read the words there. They say, child of God. In our baptisms, we put on Christ. And it is that gift that yes, Christ can live in us and we can live in Christ, into which we are baptized, that enables us to face all of the challenges that are before us and to be ready. Amen.